some other individual in any way, that the competition created by one person is a threat to someone else. Because the plain fact of the matter is, if you are matched up with a buyer whose needs you are supplying precisely, there is no other competitor in the world who could possibly be a threat to you. You may have 100 people enter your market trying to get your business away from you, but your customer is firmly in your camp because you happen to be matched up with his needs. You are the exact supply for the demand that he has. And that's why I said earlier that your only real competition would be another you. That the only, if you are satisfying the person you're dealing with, whether it be your spouse or your customer or whatever, the only person who is really a competitor would be another person exactly like you. Because any other individual is going to have obvious differences which are less than what this individual has chosen. Now, the only way that this is going to change, where you don't feel secure in the customer that you have, is if your new knowledge, pardon me, the only way you would become insecure in this position would be if his new knowledge leads him off in another direction that you do not keep pace with for whatever reason, or that you decide that in the future you're going to offer less than you previously offered. Well, in either case, you are creating an opening then for a third party to come in and offer the buyer something more than what you have to offer, something more appropriate to his profit motive. It may be considered something less in somebody else's eyes, but it's more appropriate to this profit motive. So it comes back again to the importance of finding out what people want and making sure you're matched up with it. And this is the only way you can ever have a secure position in the marketplace. The only way that you can really be sure that what you have is going to be durable. Now, to merely notice that some particular kind of business appears to be flourishing, and so you decide you're going to jump into that business thinking you're going to get rich, is, of course, very naive. You should take the trouble to find out why people are buying this service. What is it they're getting out of it? What end that they are after is being satisfied with this? It may be completely different than what appears to be on the surface. What is it they're looking for when they purchase this, when they lay out their hard-earned resources? Is there an opening between what people are trying to get and what is being made available for them? If there is no opening between those two things, then you're not about to get anything away from this other supplier. You're investing in a losing proposition. If there is an opening, then maybe you can succeed by filling it, by providing the thing that is not being provided now that people are trying to accomplish. Of course, there are further considerations before you would make the investment. Now, again, the ideal state is not realizable. But while this is true of the market as a whole, it is also true that a particular individual will come much closer to the ideal than others around him, simply because he does take more into consideration with regard to the knowledge of or the profit motives of the people around him and so forth. And in particular areas of one's life, the individual may virtually attain the ideal state in which he is either a supplier or demander in harmony with the corresponding element. Now, with a proper understanding of the nature of competition as the rearrangement process to bring about a more appropriate alignment of market elements, the individual does not have to fear third parties. Only if he has invested too heavily, made himself too vulnerable in something that for which there is no real demand, does he have to fear competition. Otherwise, the process of competition will work just as much to the supplier's advantage as to his customers. If he finds that he's not providing the maximum service possible to particular customers, as evidenced by the fact that they are attracted by other possibilities, this is also a signal to him that there may be more appropriate customers for him, ones who would actually pay more than these customers are paying. Now, if the arrangement is not now ideal for his customers, it's not ideal for him either, because he's in a very vulnerable position, and all of the normal headaches usually associated with competition will strike him, and he'll fear all of the anxiety and so forth. He will feel all of the anxiety and so forth. Now, this is a very important point and becomes obviously much more so when involved with interpersonal relationships. And with this brief dissertation on economics, we can turn back now to the tastier subjects of love and marriage. And there is no question that the principles of economics apply here completely. As a matter of fact, I have never found a definition of economics that really suited me, at least when it attempted to try to rope off a certain area of life and say that this is economics. Trying to consider economics, for instance, as the production of property or something of that sort accomplishes absolutely nothing. Since all individuals seek happiness and since resources are limited, individuals